My jaw shook as tears formed in my eyes. My shoulders rose and fell. He won't answer my calls.
Honey, you both have been through so much, and I know this has to be hard for you.
No, not for me. I mean, I can deal with him not answering my calls. I can deal with him ignoring me. But I have a 5-year-old wondering where Tick and Zeus are. She's wondering where her 2 friends went. She's asking why Zeus hasn't been over to play catch, or why Tristan hasn't been reading to her at night. So, yes, I'm sad that he's not talking to me, but I am beyond pissed off that he left Emma like that, without a word, without a thought. I'm pissed off that she's been crying because she misses them, and it is breaking my heart that I cannot even tell her where he is or if he's coming back. He said he would fight for us, but when it came down to it, he didn't even try. My voice crackled. She deserves better. He reached his hand out and placed it on top of mine. A slight wave of comfort flew through me.
You all deserve better than this.
Okay. I better get going, just if you hear from him. My words faded off. I wasn't certain if I wanted Mr. Henson to tell Tristan to come back or to go to hell, so I left the shop with a clouded mind. That night, I was in bed before 10. Not sleeping, but just staring at the ceiling in my darkened room. I turned on my side and stared at the emptied space next to me. When I received a call from Kathy saying that Emma wanted to come home early that night, I would have been lying if I said I wasn't pleased. When she came back, she lay beside me in bed. I read her a few chapters from Charlotte's Web in my best zombie voice, and her giggles reminded me of the important things. After the story, we were both on our side, facing one another. I kissed the top of her nose, and she kissed mine.
"Mama,"
she said.
"Yes, I love you."
"I love you, babe."
"Mama,"
she said once more.
"Yes?" "Tick's zombie voice was good, but I like yours better."
She yawned and shut her eyes. I combed my fingers through her wild blonde hair, and she began to lose herself to sleep.
"Mama,"
she whispered for the final time that night.
"Yes. I miss Zeus and Tick."
I snuggled beside her, falling asleep only a few minutes after she did. I didn't say it to her, but I missed them too. So, so much. The next morning, I shoot up from my bed at the sound of a shovel scraping against the sidewalk outside of my house.
"Tristan,"
I murmured to myself, tossing on my robe and slippers, hurrying to the front of the house. When I opened the door, the small bit of hope that I held was demolished when I saw Tanner standing on my sidewalk, getting rid of the freshly fallen snow.
"What are you doing?"
I asked, crossing my arms. He looked up to me with an upside-down smile and shrugged.
"I wanted to stop by and see how you and Emma were doing."
He stopped shoveling and rested his chin against the handlebar.
"Plus, I'm pretty positive you're mad at me."
I huffed. Mad? I was beyond mad. I was livid. "You had no right to tell Tristan about the accident." My eyes tried to lock with his. Maybe if he stared into my eyes, he could see how much he hurt me. Maybe if he stared into my eyes, he could see how he ruined things for Tristan and me. "Don't you feel bad at all?" He wouldn't meet my stare. His eyes faltered to the ground, and he kicked snow around with his boots.
"I thought you'd already told him."
"Tanner, you knew I didn't. I don't know what your deal is lately. Is this all because I wouldn't go out on a date with you? Is this because you were embarrassed? I've been playing it over and over in my head as to why you would do something so heartless, and nothing is coming to mind. I literally cannot understand why you would do this to me." The palm of his hand ran across his mouth, and he muttered something.
"What?"
I asked.
"Speak up."
He didn't. I walked down the steps on the porch and stood in front of him. "You've been in my life for years, Tanner. You were in my wedding. You are the godfather to my daughter. You helped me at my husband's funeral. So if there's a reason you are acting weird, if there is a reason you broke Tristan and me up, then tell me. Because if there is a real, legit reason for why you don't think I should be with him, then maybe I can get over this feeling inside of me. Maybe I could figure out a way to look at you and not feel sick to my stomach.
You wouldn't understand,
he said with his head still lowered. Try me.
But, Tanner, God damn it, I love you, Elizabeth,
he shouted, finally finding my stare. His words hit me hard, making me stumble backwards as my heart stopped beating for a moment. He dropped his shovel and then tossed his hands up in defeat.
I'm in love with you. I've been in love with you for years, since I first met you. I hid my feelings for so long because my best friend loved you too, and you loved him. I stood by, never speaking a word, because I knew if there was anyone else worthy of your love, it was Steve. But after he died...
He started in my direction and combed my fallen hairs behind my ears.
I didn't plan to want you as much as I did once you came back to town. I buried my feelings down deep. But then, this Tristan guy came along, and I sat behind the scenes once more, watching someone else make you laugh, someone else make you happy, someone else loving you. So each day I grew jealous. Each day I wanted you to want me. I wanted your laughs, your smiles, you. I wanted you, Liz. So I tried to rip Tristan and you apart. I know it was a shitty thing to do. And I know I cannot begin to ask for you to forgive me, but...
He sighed and laced his fingers with mine.
I just love you so damn much, and I'm not sure if my heart can take not having you.
His fingers were linked with mine, but instead of the warmth that Stephen had always brought me, instead of the tenderness that Tristan supplied my way, I only felt coldness. Holding Tanner's hand made me feel more alone than ever. You deliberately broke us up, I said, flabbergasted. I dropped his hold on me and then ran my hands through my hair. You literally interfered in my life, in my choices, because you love me?
He's not right for you.
I shook my head. You don't get to decide that.
He would have hurt you. He's a monster, I know he is. And look at what happened at the first sign of trouble. He disappeared. I wouldn't leave you, Liz. I would fight for you.
Maybe you should, though. He raised an eyebrow.
Maybe I should what? Maybe I should fight for you? I will, I promise you, I will.
No. I crossed my arms, standing tall. Maybe you should leave.
Lizzie, don't!
I hissed, my voice stinging his ears.
Don't call me that.
You're insane if you think I would want anything to do with you. When you love someone, you don't go out of your way to hurt them. When you truly love someone, you want their happiness more than your own. Tristan isn't the monster, Tanner. You're the one people should be worried about. You're sick, delusional. Now leave me alone. Don't come back to my house. If you see me in town, look the other way, because I truly want nothing to do with you.
You don't mean that.
His body was shaking, and all the color drained from his face. I began to walk up my porch steps, still listening to his shouts.
You don't mean that, Liz. You're mad, but we'll be okay. We'll be okay, right?
Once my feet hit the inside of the house, I slammed the door and leaned against it. My heart was pounding against my ribcage, and I continued to listen to Tanner yelling outside about how we would figure things out, how we would be okay. But we wouldn't. The only way I would be okay were if I never saw his face again.
Chapter 39. Tristan. Weeks passed after I left Meadows Creek, followed by months. I spent most of my time in my parents' backyard, chopping wood and carving into it. I built things with my hands, because building felt like the only thing I had left of myself. When May came around, I was still thinking of Elizabeth. I was still missing Emma. I was still learning how to say goodbye to Jamie. I still wanted Charlie back. I hadn't known it was possible to lose my world twice in such a short period of time. Tristan? Mom said, stepping onto her back porch. You want to come in for dinner?
Nah, I'm good.
She frowned.
Okay.
My hand rested against the axe in my grip, and I lowered my head. Actually, I think I'll eat. The level of excitement that overtook her almost made me smile. Even though I knew I wasn't anywhere near hungry, the joy that it brought to her made me want to stuff my face. Mom had been through so much since the accident. I couldn't imagine the amount of blame she probably placed on herself, the number of daily struggles she dealt with from knowing she had been behind the steering wheel, and I hadn't made it any easier for her. The least I could do was sit down and have dinner with her and Dad.
Are you thinking of selling the house in Meadows Creek?
Dad asked.
I don't know, probably. I'll start all of that stuff next week or something.
If you need any help, let me know. I don't know much about selling a house, but I can Google better than most people my age, he joked.
I laughed. I'll keep that in mind.
When I glanced up, I saw Mom staring my way with that same frown she'd worn outside. I shifted in my seat.
Dinner's great,
I said, complimenting her skills. She kept looking sad.
Thanks.
What's wrong? I questioned, rubbing the back of my neck.
You're just... What happened to you? You seem so heartbroken.
I'm okay.
You're not.
Dad cleared his throat and gave Mom a stern look. Come on, Mary. Give him time.
I know, I know. It's just I'm a mother, and the worst feeling in the world is knowing your child is hurting and you can't fix that hurt.
I reached out across the table and gripped her hand in mine.
I'm not okay, but I'll get there.
Promise?
She asked.
Promise. I hadn't stopped by the cemetery since I'd returned to town. I spent a few too many hours in my car, trying my best to figure out what I was supposed to do with my life, how I was supposed to move forward. When I found myself sitting parked in front of the cemetery, I felt my stomach tighten into knots. It took everything in me to get out of the car and walk. I hadn't been there since the burial. Standing in front of Jamie and Charlie's tombstones made my eyes fill with tears as I lay flowers against them.
Hey, you guys. Sorry I haven't visited. Truth is, I was trying my best to run from you because I didn't know how to live without you. I abandoned you and went searching for a replacement. For someone who didn't even exist because I couldn't imagine not having a family anymore. I couldn't imagine living in a world where you both weren't. I don't know how to do this without you. I don't know how to exist. So just tell me what to do, please. I'm so fucking lost. I don't think I could do this without you.
My heart pounded against my chest as I slid down to the ground, finally allowing myself to feel the loss of Jamie and Charlie. They were my world. Charlie was my heart and Jamie was my soul, and I'd let them down by turning away from them both, by not mourning their memory the way they deserved. I tried to replace them.
Please wake me up. Wake me up. Wake me up and tell me that I'm stronger than I think I am. Wake me up and tell me that my heart isn't breaking anymore.
I stayed with them until the sun began to set. My arms were wrapped around my kneecaps and I stayed still, staring at the words on the stones. Missing people, missing the ones who knew you better than you knew yourself, left emptiness inside of you. I tried to fill that emptiness, but maybe it was supposed to be left hollow inside my heart. Each day I felt the hurt, the memories. Each day they both crossed my mind. I guess that was the blessing behind the broken heart.
If I could tell you a secret, Jamie, I would tell you that I still love her. I would tell you that Elizabeth is something good and right in the world. I would tell you she's the reason I started to breathe again. So what am I supposed to do? How do I start to move on from her knowing that she can't be mine? I just wish...
I cleared my throat, uncertain what I was wishing for. Answers to the unasked questions, I supposed. As I stood up to leave, I kissed my lips twice and placed my fingers against the gray tombstones. Right before I turned to leave, a small white feather came floating down from above and landed against my arm. A wave of comfort washed over me as I nodded.
I'll be okay. I'll be good, I muttered, knowing that it was a kiss from my loved ones. I knew I would be okay one day, because it was obvious that I wasn't alone. What are you looking at? Mom asked me one afternoon as I sat at the dining room table Dad had made her for Christmas a few years before. I held onto the picture Emma had taken of Elizabeth and me with the white feathers many months before. I'd looked at it every day since I left. Nothing.
Let me see,
she said, sitting beside me. I passed her the picture and heard a slight gasp fall from her lips.
That's her.
That's who?
Kevin!
She shouted, calling Dad into the room.
Kevin, come here!
He hurried into the room.
Yeah?
She passed the picture to Dad, and he narrowed his eyes as Mom began to explain.
The day of the accident, that's the girl. I was falling apart in the waiting room while Jamie and Charlie both went into surgery. I was sobbing uncontrollably, and this woman walked up to me and held me. She stayed with me the whole time, keeping me from falling apart, telling me it would be okay.
That's her? I asked, pointing to the picture. Are you sure? She nodded.
I know without a doubt in my mind. That's her. When Jamie and Charlie came out of surgery, I didn't know what to do, who to check on first, so she sat with Jamie while I sat beside Charlie.
She looked at me with confusion in her stare.
Why do you have a picture with her?
I took the picture back from Dad and stared at a smiling Elizabeth, trying to get a grip on what was happening. She stayed by Jamie's side.
I don't know.
Chapter 40. Elizabeth. Goodbye.
No, I whispered, standing in the waiting room as a doctor stood in front of me.
I'm so sorry. He didn't make it out of surgery. We did everything we could to stop the bleeding, but we were unable to.
His lips kept moving, but I couldn't hear him anymore. My world had just been stolen from me, and my legs gave out as I lowered myself to sit in the closest chair. No, I murmured again, covering my face with the palms of my hands. How could he be gone so fast? How could he leave me here alone? Stephen, no. Before the surgery, I held his hand. I told him I loved him. I kissed him one last time. How could you be gone?
The doctor walked away after telling me how sorry he was, but I didn't care. Kathy and Lincoln showed up a few moments later, and their hearts shattered right along with mine. We stayed at the hospital for the longest time, until Lincoln said we had to leave. We had to start planning.
I'll meet you back at your house, I said. God, Emma's at Faye's house. Do you think you can pick her up? Where are you going?
Kathy asked me.
I'm just going to stay here for a little longer.
She frowned.
Honey. No, really, I'm fine. I'll be over soon. Can you wait to tell her?
Kathy and Lincoln agreed. I stayed for hours in that waiting room, unsure what I was waiting for. It seemed that everyone in the waiting room was doing exactly that, waiting for an answer, waiting for a prayer, waiting for hope. In the corner was an older woman crying her eyes out, completely alone, and I couldn't help but feel drawn to her. Her body was bruised, battered, as if she had just walked away from an ungodly event. Yet the pain in her stormy blue eyes was what haunted me the most. I shouldn't have stepped into her world of waiting, but I did. I held her, and she didn't push me away. I held her, and we fell apart together. After some time, a nurse informed the woman that her grandson and her daughter-in-law were both out of surgery, but in critical condition.
You can see them. You can sit in their rooms, but they won't be responsive, just so you know. But you can hold their hands. How do I?
Her voice shook, and tears fell.
How do I choose who to see first? How do I? I'll sit with one of them until you can, I offered. I'll hold their hand.
She sent me to sit with her daughter-in-law. When I entered the room, a chill raced through me. The poor woman was drained of all of her color. She was almost a living ghost. I pulled up a chair beside her and took her hand into mine. "Hi," I whispered. "This is weird, and I'm not even sure what to say, but, well, I'm Elizabeth. I met your mother-in-law, and she's super worried about you, so I need you to fight. She said your husband is on his way back from a trip, worried sick, so I need you to just keep fighting. I know it has to be hard, but keep going." Tears fell from my eyes as I stared at the stranger who seemed so familiar to my heart. I thought about how broken I would have been if I didn't get to at least hold Stephen's hand before he passed away. "Your husband is going to need you to be strong." I leaned close to her ear and whispered, hoping my words would find her soul. "We have to make sure your husband's okay. We have to make sure he gets to hold you. We have to make sure he can say he loves you. You can't let go yet. Keep fighting." I felt her fingers squeeze against mine, and my stare moved to her hands. "Ma'am?" a voice said. I turned to the door to see a nurse staring my way. "Are you family?" I didn't take my eyes away from our hands. "No, I'm going to have to ask you to leave." I nodded once, and I let go of her hand. "He keeps leaving these post-it notes," I sighed, sitting on the seesaw with Faye as Emma played on the monkey bars and went down the slide. "Every now and then I find a post-it on my window, and I just don't know what to think about the messages. He says he still loves me and wants me, but then, nothing. I don't know what to think. He's playing mind games, and that's not cool. I just don't understand why he would do some crap like that to you. Do you think he's just being rude? Like, getting back at you for not telling him about the accident?" "No." I shook my head. "He wouldn't do that." "It's been months, Liz. He hasn't called once. He hasn't reached out except for some random pieces of paper every now and then. That's not normal." There never was anything normal about Tristan and me. She pushed the seesaw down and looked up to me. "Maybe it's time to find a new normal, then. You deserve a normal life." I didn't reply, but thought maybe she was right. I just wished that the post-its didn't bring me so much comfort that he might come back to me one day.
"I just need time to figure things out. I'll be back soon. I love you. TC." "Wait for me. TC." "Everyone was wrong about us. Just please wait for me. TC."
"You have purple stuff on your lips, Sam," I said as I walked into the cafe for my shift. He was quick to run his hands over his mouth as I watched his cheeks redden. For the past few weeks, Maddie had started tossing Sam into the kitchen for the lunch service to learn to cook the cafe's menu. He seemed so happy finally doing something he loved, and it turned out he was pretty amazing at it.
"Thanks," he said, lifting up a stack of plates to take back to the dish room.
As he walked through the door, Faye walked out, and they did an awkward tango of who gets to step out of the way first. When Faye saw me, she shouted my way, greeting me. I smirked. "Nice purple lipstick you have on, friend." She smiled. "Thanks, I just bought it. I swear I've seen it before." "Nope," she shook her head. "I just got it last night." "No, I mean I think I've seen it like 5 seconds ago on Sam's lips." Her face flushed, and she twiddled her fingers together, rushing over to me. "Oh my gosh, shit. Creepy Sam wears the same lipstick as me? I need to find myself a new color." I cocked an eyebrow. "You're so full of crap. So tell me." "Tell you what?" "Your nickname for his you-know-what?" She rolled her eyes. "Oh my gosh, Liz, we are almost 30. Do you think we cannot act like 5-year-olds for one day?" The seriousness in her voice as she walked over to the counter to get a customer a cheese Danish made me wonder if she was truly growing up, until she shouted across the room, supersized Sam. I burst out laughing. And to think, these past few months you convinced me that Sam was a creep. Oh, he is. He's a total creep. Like, he did this really creepy thing last night, she explained, pulling out a chair at an empty table and sitting. I was still completely confused how she managed to keep her job at that place. What did he do? I asked, sitting across from her. If you can't beat them, join them. Well, for starters, he's always asking me how I'm doing, which is just weird. It's almost as if he wants to know about me. Dude, okay, that's totally weirdo territory, I mocked. Right? And then, last night he came over to my place, and I asked him which room he wanted to bang in, and he was all like, no, I want to take you out somewhere fancy. Like, what? And then, after dinner and drinks, he walked me up to my porch, kissed my cheek, and said he would love to take me out some other time. He didn't even try to meet my vagina last night. What a creep. I know. She paused, glancing back to the kitchen where Sam was getting started on the griddle. A tiny smile played on her lips before she turned back to me. He's not that creepy, I guess. No, I guess not. I'm so happy he gets to work in the kitchen, too. I remember him telling me how much he wanted to do that. Yeah, plus he's just freaking amazing in there. I'm surprised Maddie let him cook. She shrugged. He kind of had to. I blackmailed him by threatening to send the video of him dancing naked to the Spice Girls to everyone who works here, unless he gave Sam a chance. You're a terrible person, Faye. I pushed myself up from my chair and went to head back to work. But a really great friend. It's that Scorpio in me. I love you until you do something to piss me off. Then I turn into your personal Satan. I laughed. Oh, crap, Faye shouted, leaping out of her seat, placing her hands on my shoulders and rotating me around from facing the front windows. Okay, don't panic. About what? Well, remember when your husband died and you disappeared for a year and then came back, but were super depressed, and you started banging an asshole who turned out to not be an asshole, but just a dude that was hurt because his wife and son died? And then you two, like, kind of fell into a weird sex-lationship, where you pretended you were both someone else, but then one day you were like, but I want you to be you and me to be me, so you fell in love. And then you found out that, like, your husband was involved in his family's deaths. And then shit got weird and the dude left town, but for some reason thought it was okay to keep leaving you post-it notes, which just left you even more confused and hurt and totally, oh my gosh, it feels like I'm PMSing for 4 weeks out of every month, and I can't even eat any more ice cream because my hot tears melted every time I cry into the Ben and Jerry's. Do you remember all of that? I blink repeatedly. Yes, I believe that sounds familiar. Thank you for the trip down memory lane. You're welcome. Well, okay, don't freak out, but here's the thing. That dude that you fell in love with? He's across the street in the voodoo shop. My body shot around, and I saw Tristan standing in the store with Mr. Henson. My heart skyrocketed from my chest to my throat, and I could feel my body tingling with nerves. Tristan. You're freaking out, she said. I shook my head. I'm not. You're freaking out, she repeated. I nodded. I am. My voice trembled. What is he doing here? I think you should go find out, Faye said. You deserve an answer for all of those damn post-it notes. She was right. I needed to know. I needed closure. I needed to move on by letting go of any hope that he would someday come back for me, because I was definitely still waiting. Maddie, Liz is taking a lunch break, Faye shouted.
She just got here and it's breakfast time, he replied.
Fine, she's taking a breakfast break.
No way, she's working her whole shift.
Faye started humming Spice Up Your Life by the Spice Girls, and Maddie's face turned beet red.
Take all the time you need, Liz.
Chapter 41. Tristan. I pulled up to Mr. Henson's shop and hurried inside. He'd called me the day before and had sounded very distressed, telling me that the shop was closing due to issues with the town asshole. I knew Tanner had something to do with it, and I knew Mr. Henson was probably falling apart. I had to check on him to see how I could help. After all, he had been one of the first to be there for me when I was completely lost. When I walked into Needful Things, my eyes widened when I saw Mr. Henson packing up the store. It was as if everything magical about the place was gone. All the shelves emptied, all the mysterious items boxed away. "What the heck is going on?" I said, moving toward Mr. Henson.
"Tanner's getting his wish. I'm closing down shop."
"What? I thought you called me here to try to figure this out."
My fingers ran through my hair.
"You can't close up shop. Did he do this at the town hall meeting? He can't do this."
"It doesn't matter, Tristan. I already sold the shop."
"To who? I'll get it back, whatever it takes. Who did you sell it to?"
"The town, asshole."
"Tanner can't have this shop. You can't let him win."
"I wasn't talking about Tanner."
"Then who were you talking about?"
He turned my way and took my hand, placing a set of keys in my grasp.
"You."
"What?"
"It's yours, every inch, every square," Mr. Henson sang.
"What are you talking about?"
"Well," he said, sitting on top of one of the boxes, "I've lived my dream. I've seen the magic that this place can create. Now it's time I give it to someone else who needs a little magic in their life. Someone who needs a little dreaming."
"I'm not taking your shop."
"Oh, but see, that's the beauty in all of it. You are taking it. It's already yours. I set up all of the paperwork. All you have to do is cross a few T's and dot a few I's."
"What would I even do with it?"
I asked.
"You have a dream, Tristan. The furniture that your father and you create would get a ton more people into this space than my old crystals ever did. Don't let anyone ever kill your dreams, my boy."
He pushed himself up from his box, moved over to the counter, and picked up his hat. Placing it on his head, he began walking toward the front door.
"What about you? What are you going to do?"
I asked, watching him open the front door, sounding the bell overhead.
"As for me, well, I'm going to go find a new dream, because you're never too old to dream a little dream, to discover a little magic. I hear there are rumors going around that the town might need some repairs, and I have a few dollars lying around. We'll chat through the details later on, but for now, I'll be seeing you."
He winked, walking out the door. I moved to the store door and opened it fast, glancing in the direction that Mr. Henson had disappeared in. My mind started to wonder if he was some kind of weird hallucination, but when I looked down at the keys in my hands, I knew he was real.
"What are you doing here?"
I turned around to see Elizabeth standing behind me, her arms crossed.
"Lizzie,"
I muttered, almost stunned to see her standing so close.
"Hi."
"Hi?" she huffed, barging into the store. I followed her inside.
"Hi?"
she shouted.
"You disappear for months, not giving me a chance to explain myself, and then randomly show up in town, and all you can say is, 'Hi?' You're a dick."
"Lizzie," I said with narrowed eyes, stepping toward her. She stepped back.
"No, don't come near me."
"Why not?"
"Because whenever you're near me, I can't think straight, and I need to think straight right now to say what I need to say."
She stopped talking and took a moment to look around the store.
"Oh my gosh, where is everything? Why is it all boxed away?"
I placed my thumb between my teeth and studied her features. Her hair was longer, lighter too. She was makeup-free, and her eyes still had the ability to make me fall in love with her.
"You stayed with her."
"What?" she asked, with her back leaning against the counter. I walked closer to her, boxing her in as my hands rested against the countertop.
"You stayed with Jamie."
Her breathing pattern became uneven, and she stared at my lips as I stared at hers.
"Tristan, I don't know what you're talking about."
"The day of the accident, my mom was in the waiting room by herself because Dad and I were still flying back from Detroit. You saw her and you held her."
"That was your mom?"
she asked, her eyes narrowed. I nodded. "And she said when Jamie and Charlie were out of surgery, you sat with Jamie, you held her hand." My lips hovered over hers, and I could feel the small exhales leaving her mouth.
"What happened when you went into that room with Jamie?" Her voice shook and she blinked a few times before tilting her head back slightly to meet my stare. I sat down beside her bed, held her hand, and told her that she wasn't alone. My fingers rubbed against my forehead, taking in her words. She wasn't in pain, Tristan. When she passed away, the doctor said there wasn't any pain. Thank you, I said. I needed to know that. My left hand moved to her lower back, and I pulled her closer to me. Tristan, don't. Tell me not to kiss you, I begged. Tell me not to do it. She didn't say a word, but her body shook in mine. My lips brushed against hers, and I kissed her hard and deep, apologizing for everything I'd done, every mistake I'd made. When our mouths pulled away, she kept shaking against my hold. I love you, I said. No, you don't. I do. You left me, she cried, yanking herself away from me. She crossed the room, ran her hands against her lips, and stood strong. You left me without giving me a chance to explain. I didn't know how to handle everything that was happening. Jesus, Lizzie, everything in the past months happened so fast. Don't you think I know that? I was living the same nightmares as you, but I wanted to explain to you what happened. I wanted to make it work. I still want to make it work. She snickered with sarcasm. Is that why you kept leaving the post-it notes? Was that your sign of wanting to make it work? Because it only confused me more. It only hurt me more. What are you talking about? The post-it notes. The ones you left every week on my bedroom window for the past 5 months with your initials? The same notes we used to write to each other. My eyes narrowed. Lizzie, I didn't leave you any messages. Stop with the mind games. No, seriously, I haven't been back to town until today. She looked at me as if she hadn't a clue who I was. I stepped near her, and she moved back. Stop! I don't want to play anymore, Tristan. I don't want to play your games anymore. Maybe if you had shown up 2 months ago, I would have forgiven you. Or maybe 1 month ago, but not today. Stop with the notes and stop playing with my heart, with my daughter's heart. She turned and left the store, leaving me extremely confused. When I stepped outside, she was already walking back into the cafe across the street. My stomach was in knots as I walked back into Needful Things. When the bell above the door rang, my body whipped around, hoping to see Elizabeth staring my way. I turned and saw Tanner standing in the doorway. "What are you doing back here?" he asked, urgency in his voice. "Not now, Tanner. I'm really not in the mood." "No, no, no, you can't be here. You can't be back here." He started pacing back and forth, rubbing his hands against the back of his neck. "You're going to ruin everything. She was coming back to me. She was warming up to me again." "What?" The look on his face made my stomach turn. "What did you do?" He huffed. "It's really kind of ridiculous. I mean, you storm off, leaving her for months and months, and the second you come back, she's already falling all over you, kissing you as if you're her fucking Prince Charming. Well, hell, congratulations." He rolled his eyes and turned to leave. "It wasn't supposed to be like this," he muttered to himself as I followed him out of the store and across the street to his auto shop. "Have you been leaving notes at Elizabeth's house?" "What, I'm sorry, were you the only one allowed to do that?" "You signed my initials." "Come on, Sherlock. You can't really think that you were the only one with T and C as their initials." He went to one of the cars, opened the hood, and started tinkering with things. "But you knew she would think they were from me. How did you even know that we gave each other notes?" "Take it easy. It's not like I had little cameras spying on the two of you." He looked up toward me with an unsettling grin. I charged toward him, gripping his shirt and slamming him against the car. "Are you fucking psycho? What the hell is wrong with you?" "What's wrong with me?" he shouted. "What's wrong with me? I won the coin toss," he hissed. "And he took her from me. I called heads, he called tails, and the coin said heads. But he thought he could just take her and make her love him. He messed up our lives. She was mine. And he mocked me over and over again about it for years, asking me to be his best man, begging for me to be the godfather to their kid.
years and years of throwing it in my face when Elizabeth should have been mine. So I handled it.
What? I said, loosening my grip on his shirt. His eyes were wide, crazed, and he couldn't stop smiling.
Handled what?
He said his car was acting up. He asked me to check under the hood because he and Emma were going on a trip out of town for the day. I knew him coming to me that day was a sign. He wanted me to do it.
Do what?
Cut the brake cord under his hood.
He was giving Elizabeth back to me because I won the coin toss, and everything went great, except when he took that car onto the freeway, Emma wasn't in the back seat. She was homesick.
I couldn't comprehend his words. I couldn't believe what he was saying.
You tried to kill them? You rigged his car?
I won the coin toss, he cried, as if he were actually making sense.
You're a lunatic,
he snickered.
I'm a lunatic? You're sitting here in love with a woman whose husband killed your family.
He didn't kill them. You did. You killed my family. He waved his finger back and forth.
No, Stephen was behind the wheel driving the car. He was the one driving. I was just a mere mechanic under the hood.
I slammed him against the car again, over and over again.
This isn't some kind of game, Tanner. These are people's lives you're playing with.
Life is a game, Tristan, and I advise you to back off, because I won her. It's now time for me to collect my prize, and the last thing I need is someone else to get in my way.
You're sick,
I said, walking away from him. And if you come anywhere near Elizabeth, I will kill you myself. Tanner laughed again.
Come on, buddy. You would kill me? When it comes to killing, I'm pretty sure I have you beat three times over. Four if you count later tonight.
What?
Come on. You didn't think I could have Elizabeth with a little girl always reminding her of her dead husband, did you?
If you touch Emma, I warned, seconds away from slamming my fist into his face.
What? What are you going to do? Kill me?
I didn't even remember hitting him, but I did remember him collapsing to the ground.
Lizzie!
I shouted, entering the cafe. We need to talk.
Tristan, I'm working, and I'm pretty sure we've already spoken enough.
I wrapped my hand around her forearm and slightly pulled her.
Lizzie, seriously. Let her go,
Faye said, marching in front of us.
Now! Faye, you don't understand. Lizzie, it was Tanner. All of this was him. He was behind the notes, the accident. He was behind all of it.
What are you talking about? Elizabeth asked, confusion floating in her eyes.
I'll explain it all later, but for now I need to know where Emma is. She's in trouble, Lizzie.
What? Faye gasped lightly.
What did you do to Tanner?
She asked, staring across the street. Two police officers were talking to him, and Tanner was pointing my way.
Fuck. He's insane. He said he was going to hurt Emma.
Elizabeth was shaking, nerves taking her over.
Why would you say such a thing? I know Tanner has his moments, but he would never...
She was interrupted as the cops came into the cafe.
Tristan Cole, you are under arrest for the attack on Tanner Chase.
What?
Elizabeth sighed, running her hands through her hair, confusion in her eyes.
What's going on?
The cop kept speaking as they went to handcuff me.
It turns out this guy was caught on Tanner Chase's auto shop security cameras attacking him.
He began to speak to me.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to an attorney, and if you cannot afford an attorney, one will be appointed to you.
They dragged me out of the shop, and Elizabeth hurried outside to follow us.
Wait, this is a misunderstanding. Tristan, tell them it's a mistake,
she begged.
Lizzie, check on Emma, okay? Just make sure she's okay.
I leave the shop with you for 3 hours and come back to find you locked behind bars,
Mr. Henson joked.
What are you doing here?
I asked, confused. He cocked an eyebrow as a cop unlocked my cell door.
I think I'm paying your bail.
How did you know I was in here?
Oh, I did a tarot card reading.
I narrowed my eyes and he laughed.
Tristan,
This is the most gossiping town of all towns. I overheard people talking about it. Plus, he said as we rounded the corner of the hallway, this little birdie dropped me a line. Elizabeth stood up from the bench in the front lobby and rushed over to me.
Tristan, what's going on?
Is Emma safe? She nodded.
She's with her grandparents.
Did you tell them what's going on?
Not yet. I just asked them to watch her. I honestly don't even know what's happening, Tristan.
Tanner did this, Lizzie. All of this is Tanner. He left you the notes these past 5 months, not me. He's the one who caused the accident with Stephen's car. He told me it was him, Lizzie. You have to believe me. He thinks all of this is some kind of sick game, and I'm certain he's not going to stop until he gets the prize.
What's the prize?
You are. She swallowed hard.
What do we do? How do we prove that he's behind all of this?
I don't know. I don't know what the next step is, but we need to talk to Sam and get a few cops over to your place.
What? Why?
Tanner said something about cameras. I think he might have put some around your house. Her hands started trembling and I took hold of her. It's okay. We're going to figure this out. Everything is going to be okay.
Chapter 42. Elizabeth. A team of cops came over to my house, along with Sam and his father, and they searched the whole house for cameras. 8 were found, including the final one, which was placed inside of my Jeep. I'm going to be sick. They were the same tiny cameras that Sam had told me about when he'd first changed the locks in my house.
I can't believe this. God damn it, Elizabeth, I'm so sorry, Sam said, rubbing his brow. Tanner was the only person in town that we sold these new cameras to.
How many did you sell him? He swallowed hard.
8.
How could he do this? How could he get the cameras in here? He's been watching us this whole time? I asked the cops, who were collecting the cameras.
It's hard to say how long he's been doing this, but we will find an answer. We'll run his fingerprints and see if anything comes up. We'll figure this out, ma'am.
After everyone headed out, Tristan wrapped his arms around me.
We should go get Emma. You should be with her.
I nodded. Yeah, we should. Tristan put his finger under my chin and tilted my head up so I could stare into his eyes.
We're going to figure all of this out, Lizzie. I promise you.
For the whole ride over to Kathy and Lincoln's house, I prayed that we would figure it all out.
Liz, what are you doing here?
Lincoln asked, opening the front door. Tristan waited in his car for me. I know Emma's supposed to stay the night, but I would really feel more comfortable if she was home with me tonight. Lincoln raised an eyebrow as Kathy walked over to greet me. Liz, what's going on? Just picking up Emma? I smiled. I'll explain everything later, I promise. But Tanner just stopped by to pick her up. He said you were having car trouble and wanted him to drop her off at your house. Oh, my God. I turned to look at Tristan. The worry in my eyes must have been clear as day, because he pumped his fist against his mouth as I hurried back over to him. Tanner has her.
Call 911,
he ordered as I hopped into the car and he drove off. I spoke with the cops, and they said they were on their way to my house to meet us. I couldn't stop shaking. My mind was shutting down on me, and I couldn't see through my tears. My head was growing more and more dizzy as each second passed. I was going to faint. I was going to pass out. I was going to...
Lizzie, Tristan said sternly as he gripped my hand in his. Lizzie, look at me. Now,
he ordered. I sobbed, unable to stop as I turned his way.
I need you to take a breath for me, okay? I need you to breathe.
I inhaled deep, but I wasn't certain that an exhale followed.
Can you think of any place he might have taken her?
A police officer questioned me. No. No. His partner stood beside him, taking notes. The process of everything was slow, and I didn't understand why they were taking their sweet time when they could have been out there searching. I'm sorry. When are you going to actually start looking for her? Tristan handled calling everyone. He made sure everyone was up to date with all the information, and it wasn't long before Faye, Sam, Kathy and Lincoln were standing in my living room, and Mama had already hit the road with Mike to be there soon.
"Ma'am, I know you're worried, but there is a process we have to go through when a child is missing. We'll need the most updated photos you have of her, and we'll need to know more details about her. Hair color, eye color. Did she have any reason that maybe she ran away from home?"
"Are you kidding me?" I huffed, unable to believe the words that had just left his mouth. "We just found cameras hidden in my house, and then you have the nerve to question if maybe, just maybe, my daughter ran away instead of being kidnapped? Tanner Chase has my baby, so how about you just do your damn job and find her?" I screamed at them, not meaning to take it out on the officers, but having no one else to blame. I felt so helpless. "I did this. This is my fault. My baby could be hurt, or even worse."
"Lizzie, it's okay. We'll find her," Tristan whispered against my ear. "It's okay."
But we didn't find her that night. The search went on, and we checked every inch of town, every inch of the wooded forest, but there was nothing to be found. Nothing at all. Mama and Mike showed up, but weren't exactly sure what to say other than, "They will find her." I wished the words brought more comfort, but they didn't. Everyone seemed just as terrified as I was. I told everyone to go home, but they all refused and fell asleep in the living room. When I finally made it to my bedroom, Tristan was there to hold me.
"I'm so sorry, Lizzie."
"She's just a baby. Why would he hurt her? She's my world." He held me for a few minutes longer before we heard a tapping on my bedroom window. When we turned to look, there was a post-it note sitting against it. "So many books in this shed. I wonder what Emma would want to read. T.C. "Oh, my God," I muttered.
"We have to call the cops," Tristan said, reaching for his phone.
I looked out of the window and saw Bubba sitting on the ground.
"No, Tristan, we can't."
I opened the window and climbed out.
"He said just us."
He followed after me and picked up the stuffed animal that had another post-it note. "Libraries and sheds are a weird mix. Sheds seem better for cars, if you ask me. T.C.
"He's by your shed," I said to Tristan, who placed his hand in front of me, refusing to let me go first.
"Stay behind me,"
he ordered as we walked toward his backyard.
"What a hero you are, Tristan,"
Tanner laughed, looking our way. His body looked like a shadow until he stepped closer to the light from the shed.
"Taking care of Elizabeth."
"Tanner, what's going on?"
I asked, confused and terrified.
"Do you hear that?"
Tristan whispered to me. I stopped to listen, hearing the sound of a running car inside the shed.
"Emma's in there, isn't she?"
I asked Tanner.
"You always were smart. That's why I loved you. Aloof as fuck, but still smart."
"You have to let her out, Tanner. The chemicals from the car will hurt her. They could kill her."
"Why did you choose him?"
he asked, leaning against Tristan's table saw.
"I just don't understand."
"I didn't choose Tristan, Tanner. It just happened."
Tristan edged closer to the shed, and Tanner hissed,
"No, no, no. Stop right there, Casanova, or I'll shoot."
He reached into his back pocket and pulled out a gun.
"Oh, my God. What do you want from us?"
I cried. My eyes moved to the shed where the car was still running.
"My baby. Tanner, please let her out."
"I just wanted you,"
he said, waving the gun around.
"From day one, I wanted you, and then Stephen took you. I saw you first, and he didn't care. I won the coin toss, and he still took you away from me. And then he died, and I gave you time to mourn him, to miss him. I was here waiting for you, and out of nowhere, this guy shows up and steals you."
Tanner wiped his hands over his emotion-filled eyes.
"Why didn't you pick me, Liz? Why didn't you come back for me? Why haven't you ever seen me?"
"Tanner," I said, walking cautiously toward him, "I do see you."
He shook his head.
"No, you're just scared. I'm not stupid, Liz. I'm not stupid."
I stared into his panicked eyes and kept walking.
It took everything in me to hold my fear inside my body. It took everything in me to seem somewhat calm. I'm not scared of you, Tanner Michael Chase. I'm not. I stepped closer to him and lay my hand against his cheek. His eyes dilated, and his breaths became heavy. I see you. He closed his eyes, running his face against my hand.
Jesus, Liz, you're all I wanted.
My mouth hovered over his, and I felt his hot breath against me. I'm yours. I'm yours. We can run away with each other, I said, my hands falling to his chest. We can start all over.
Just us,
he whispered. My forehead felt his. Just us. His free hand wrapped around my lower back, and I shivered at his touch. His fingers pulled up my shirt, and he felt my bare skin.
God, I've always wanted this.
He sighed against my neck, kissing it lightly, sending chills throughout me. His tongue slipped from his mouth and landed against my skin, licking me slowly. We heard the sound of the shed doors opening behind us, and Tanner's eyes shot open.
You bitch!
He hissed, looking betrayed by my closeness. He shoved me to the ground and held his gun up, seconds away from shooting toward Tristan, who had just disappeared into the shed. As Tanner went to chase Tristan, I grabbed his leg, making him fall to the ground with me. The gun slipped from his grip, landing between us. We both leaped up to grab it, and we started wrestling with one another. The gun was clasped in both of our hands, and Tanner shoved me with his elbow, slamming it against my eye.
Let it go, Liz,
he shouted, but I wouldn't. I couldn't. Tristan had to get Emma out safely. He had to save my daughter.
I swear to God, I'll shoot you, Liz. I love you so fucking much, but I'll do it. Just let go, please,
he cried. Tanner, don't do this, I begged him, feeling my hold on the gun slipping. Please, I pleaded, wanting this terrible nightmare to come to an end.
I loved you,
he whispered, tears falling from his eyes.
I loved you.
The sound of the gun firing one time was what I heard first. We wrestled one another. The second fire I heard next. Then a burning sensation crept into my gut, making vomit rise up in my throat. My eyes were wide, terrified by all of the blood. Was I bleeding? Was I dying?
Lizzie,
Tristan yelled, hurrying out of the shed with Emma in his arms. I turned to him, my body in a state of shock, completely covered in blood that wasn't mine. Tanner lay under me, his body motionless as blood spilled from beneath him. Oh, my God. I killed him. I killed him. I killed him, I cried, shaking uncontrollably. By that point, everyone who'd been inside my house was standing in the backyard. I thought I heard yelling, shouting. Someone said to call 911. A hand landed against my shoulder, begging me to stand up. Emma wasn't breathing, someone said. Another voice told Tristan to keep doing CPR. My world was spinning. Everyone was moving in slow motion around me. The red, white, and blue lights in front of our house were burning into my soul. Professionals took over caring for Emma. Mama cried. Faye sobbed. Someone shouted my name. There was so much blood. I killed him.
Lizzie,
Tristan said, knocking me back into reality.
Lizzie, baby.
He bent down and placed his hands around my face. My tears fell against his hands, and he gave me a broken smile.
Baby, you're in shock. Were you shot? Are you hurt?
No, I killed him, I whispered, turning my head to look at Tanner, but Tristan refused to let me.
Baby, no, it wasn't you. I just need you to come back to me, okay? Lizzie, I need you to put down the gun.
I stared down at my blood-covered hands, which were still clenching the gun. Oh, my God, I murmured, dropping the gun to the side. Tristan was quick to lift me up into his arms, away from Tanner's motionless body. My head fell into his shoulder as I watched cops and paramedics rush over.
Where's Emma?
I asked, turning my head back and forth, searching the area.
Where's Emma? She's on her way to the hospital,
Tristan explained. I have to go, I said, getting out of his grip. My legs were trembling, and I almost